Hi, this is Ray from Raymond, and the question is, where was Wish born, and how was it born? Well, we were in Hockenheim, which is a city in Germany, and we had just set up a new rehearsal room, and we started going through the many CDs that we had from songs that we'd written over the year, and started working out how many tracks we really thought were, good to be on the album. And that was, that was 2005. I'd say it was about May. And after we went through all the CDs, and we ended up with about 14 CDs and different tracks, and I suppose it was about 220 things, call them things, they were ideas. And then we went through all that, and we narrowed it down to about 62 songs that we thought, okay, these are good ideas. Then we went around the world meeting different producers, and we met so many people, so many great people in England and in America and in Germany, France, I think we were as well. And when we met Greg Fiedelman, who decided to do the album, it was kind of amazing because you meet people and they automatically you click and you just feel like this is the person we want to work with. And Greg, we met him in a place called The Ranch in on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, and he sat down. He was coming from a session that he had been working with Rick Rubin on a session, and he was mentioning all these names of people he was working with, and I mean, it was very, very daunting because you're going, wow, he's worked with Chili Peppers, he's worked with Johnny Cash, he's worked with Jet and all these great bands, and at the same time, you want to make sure that he's the right person for you. And, we were very conscious of asking the questions, and he was taking away all the tension by just having the right answer. Every time that we said, how do you see our music? He'd say, look, I think you need more live feeling. I think, the band can deliver live without having to really use the studio too much. And he talked about the sound, that maybe it needed a bit more air in it. And for us, he was just saying one after another, he was going, nail on the head, nail on the head. This is what we want to hear. And it's kind of, scary for me because you always think the person who's going to come with the answers is going to be this wise, old person who's going to go, after my many years of traveling the world, here are the answers. And with Greg, he's a young guy, and he's worked a lot in studios, no question about it. But I think he was one of those, quick learners. He just seemed to, I think he picked everything up. He didn't have to learn something twice. And he had all the answers, and it was fantastic. Every one of us was like, this is the guy. And when we started then working out, okay, how are we going to do it? And we moved to Los Angeles at the end of August. And we set up camp in Oakwoods, which is a kind of chain of apartments all over America, and we took our apartments, and every apartment looks the same. And it got very exciting very quickly, I mean, Los Angeles is where the sun shines the whole time, and I mean, I come from Ireland, so you expect to get up at least one morning where you go, it's raining. But it was like in Los Angeles, it was just the whole time sun. So we all got motorbikes, or some of us got motorbikes, some of us got cars, and experienced the whole Los Angeles thing as much as we could, even though we were spending every day either in the rehearsal room, or when we were finished with the pre-production, we went straight onto the studio to Sound City. But the buzz was first in the rehearsal room. Next door was Audioslave, and then there was the Best of the 80s band down the way. And I'm a really ignorant musician, I mean, I know what music I like, and I listen to a lot of different music, but don't ask me names and don't ask me places and times, because I can't remember any of that stuff. But it was mad. People were just walking by, and I was like, going, isn't that the, and yeah, that's him. And then Audioslave, one of our favorite bands, was next door, and that was really cool as well. And they were really nice people, and they were very, excuse my French, very fucking loud. And but I mean, what are you going to do? It just sounded fantastic. And then we really got into the hard work after the whole kind of, after the curtains went down, we started getting into it, and we worked our asses off. We were in the studio every day from 10 till about 12, or 10 to 10. And it was fantastic because you'd be working on a song, you'd really be getting the buzz, everyone was like getting excited. And then you go for something to eat and you spend about 2 hours like being excited about that, that we'd cracked that song, and then that we were having such great food. And then I was back and do another song. And, you know, Greg had sent over his list from the 62 songs. We'd sent over our list, and they both kind of ended up being still 62 songs. And then we worked it down again. And the great thing was about when we got to work, it was like answers were still there, you know. And that's the kind of, I think the worry thing is every band has is when you go into a studio with a producer you haven't worked with before, is talk is cheap, and when it comes down to actually doing the work, then he's got to be, you know, active with the answers. And he was, he's a fantastic producer. He like for every kind of wall, he'd either, you know, come in a bulldozer and make it disappear, or we'd drive around it. And one after another song, we kind of, we had our fights about which songs we wanted to do. I mean, but I think that was to be expected from six people having to agree on 12, 13 songs. There was no question that it was going to be easy. But who cared? It was like, I mean, it was all fun. It was incredible, you know. I think if you don't have the fun in the music, then you don't really, why are you doing it, like, you know? And we really loved it. It was a real buzz for us. And then moving into Sound City after we'd done the pre-production, then it really got exciting. You know, walking in the hallway the first day and seeing the gold and platinum records from all the different people. And, yeah, you just kind of think all of a sudden, right, you know, they've laid down the gauntlet, like, you got to come up with the goods. And I'm really looking forward to the day that we get to walk into the studio and try and sneak our own gold or platinum record up there, to see if Siobhan, who looks after the studio, if she'll let us hang one up there. But you never really thought about it, like, you know. But when you get your records, like when you get these honorary gold records and platinum records, the studio deserves so much thank you. And I'm wondering why, but then I suddenly realized, like in New York, in Los Angeles at least, that the studio was such an intricate part of the album, because the people in the studio, you know, you wake up in the morning, you go to the studio, it's your whole life for whatever number of months. And it was bizarre how much they belonged to the album. It was not only bizarre, it was fantastic. Yeah, it wasn't just amazing, it was fantastic. You know, we'd been in the band, we'd been in studios where there was like one or two people who'd look after you, but then you had suddenly four people who were looking after you, and then six people, and then seven people who were, you know, coming into work and helping us do our album, which was incredible. Like, you know, you had the drum tech, guitar tech, two engineers, assistant engineer, Greg, and yeah, runners, and it was just, it was mad. Incredible feeling to be there. I mean, especially like, because when we start looking at the gold records and platinum records, which you do after a while, you see then like the heroes, the music heroes that recorded there. For me, Johnny Cash was like, it was a very big kind of impression that he had made on the studio. You still could feel his presence. You know, you're in the studio and you know that the man in black had been there. And it was fantastic. I really, you know, I don't believe in idols, and that's not what I describe him as, but I think he's definitely a figure. You know, he's somebody who wrote music history, and it's important to respect these people, to honor them, and to keep their music alive. And after we came back to Germany, we started playing Johnny Cash numbers, the intro to our set, because it just seemed to make sense, and we still do, and it's fantastic. It just brings the right vibe into the band before we head off onto the stage. So then the album was finished, and it was mixed in Sound Factory, also in LA, but in Sunset. And then it was kind of bizarre, because the record company had come over while we were mixing with our management and said, look, please record tonight, because we've been listening to it, we can't get it out of our heads, and we think you should record it. So we set up a small rehearsal room in the studio where we were mixing, like a storage room. And so Greg was mixing one room, we were rehearsing the other. He'd come in every 2 hours, listen what we'd done, say no, and we'd go again and try again. And then having a direction but not really a concrete idea, we booked then both sides of the studio, because it's kind of in two halves. And we went into Studio A, I think it is, or B, and started recording. And after about 24 hours, Greg said, sounds like a record to me, which was just before my left hand fell off the guitar, really. And it was incredible. You know, the last thing I did anyway before we left Los Angeles was to sing the vocals tonight. And personally, I always feel you're not allowed to leave the studio until the last second, and that was the last second. And we definitely squeezed all the juice out of that rock, has to be said. Yeah, then we got home, and it was Christmas, and Greg was still sending us a few mixes over the internet, and it was bizarre. It was just like the album just went on for months, and then we were finished, and we went off to tour. And to be honest with you, it's still a major part of our lives because we are still on tour, and it's having a huge success in so many different countries, and we're getting to play in England for the first time. We've been invited to play in America as well, so. Who knows? It's not over yet, but as you can see, I can talk forever, but I'll just say that this album is called Wish, and we hope you enjoy it.